Book of Nehemiah, chapter 6, starting from verse 1.
Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief.
Last week we learned there were no enemies. The people from inside, all the Israeli people, came to Nehemiah and started complaining that our children are slaves, our vineyard is gone, our land is gone, we don't have money to pay taxes and all these things, and Nehemiah took care of that. Now we see another enemy. Now this enemy, they came before. They came and they said, we are going to bring the army, we are going to bring all these people and try to destroy and kill them. Not only that, they said, we are going to bring our people secretly, and they will be working among you, and they will kill you. But that time Nehemiah and all the people prayed, and those people were defeated, and they could not do anything. Now this time, they got a new tactic. Last time they thought they will bring the army, they will bring manpower, and they will destroy. Now this time, they are bringing new tactic. What they're doing this time? This time they are saying, okay, there are three people's names are given. One is his Arabian. And so all these people are enemy of God. And they don't keep quietly what God is doing. They always go against God. You just heard, they knew this is the work of God. Now, if you know this is the work of God and the hand of God, why you go against God? When you go against God, you're not going to win. You always lose when you go against God. But the people don't know that. They think they can defeat God. And that's what the Lucifer thought. When you are created beings, you don't go to the Creator and tell him, I'm greater than you. It doesn't work that way. And that's the problem. They knew this is the work of God, but they're going against the work of God. They knew that Nehemiah is a child of God, and they knew that how they were defeated, and still they do not understand, and they want to go and make a problem to Nehemiah. Now, this time, they got a new idea. They said, okay, Nehemiah, we want to talk to you. And they selected a place and said, come here, a village and a beautiful open place, and we want to meet with you. And we want to talk to you. We want to, because they thought we can trick him. One day the Muslim people came to our church, not here in India, and they said, we want your pastor to come and preach to us. And I was not there, so somebody told me, this Muslim man came and told us that send the pastor Peter to preach in my mosque. I knew this is a trap. I knew from the beginning. But I said, this is my last chance to go and preach. God will protect me. And it's a long story, but God did protect me from their hands. They wanted to kill me. So here, Nehemiah got the idea that these people are trying to trick him. He says, word here, he says, they want to do mischief. Mischief is just like having fun or teasing somebody. This is not a mischief. This was a killing somebody, destroying somebody. And that's what their idea was. Let's read the verse 3.
And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you?
Now he's simply saying, you know what? I'm so busy. I'm doing the work, great work. What is the greatest work you can do in this world? The Lord's work. Lord's work is greatest works in the world. You can send your son to be a lawyer, a doctor, engineer, or any big job they can do, even the president or king. But the Lord's work is greater than any king, greater than any president, because they have to go to church and listen to the pastor. So the Lord's work is greatest. You should always telling your children about God and trying to make them servant of God. My grandson wanted to be an actor, maybe a movie star. We changed his mind to from actor to, I said, why don't you go to some place and do a better thing? He said, well, then I'm going to be a lawyer. Says a lawyer is better than dancer and better than actor. But the people want to be actor is the very famous thing. So we send him there and we start praying. And God spoke to him. He said, why you want to be a lawyer? When you are young, you promised me that I'm going to serve you and I want to be a minister and this and that. Why are you going to be in a different way now? Came to his mind and he tried to change it, tried to talk to mommy. Mommy might have said, hey, you're going to lose your subjects and this and that. And then he talked to me and my wife. We got so encouraged. We said, well, serving the Lord is the best. And so the point I'm making, he made a decision to serve the Lord. But the devil is very tricky. Devil always will come and say, you made a wrong decision. Now look, you don't have a job, you don't have anything, you are not preaching, you cannot do the Lord's work, and all kinds of thoughts will come. But the enemy will be defeated. Amen. Here the word of God is saying, those people came and asked him, he said, hey, Nehemiah, come and talk to us. It's very important. What Nehemiah is saying, there's nothing important than the God's work. I am serving the Lord. I am doing a great job. And I am so busy. I don't have time. What the word of God is saying. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Spend some time in the Bible. Study the word of God. Somebody says, oh, nobody's giving me a preaching chance. Do you know Billy Graham? Billy Graham was going and preaching to cows. He was going and talking to trees. And he was preparing, one day I'm going to be preacher. Somebody said, no, when Pastor Peter is not giving me pulpits, I cannot do the Lord's work. It's not that way. If your heart is tuned to God, then you will be talking to the walls. Wall has ears. Somebody will be listening. Somebody will be listening what you have in your heart. So you keep on doing. And Billy Graham, when he got a chance, he prepared the message, maybe 7 days messages, or seven preaching or whatever. But he started preaching and one day he finished everything what he had in one preaching. And he thought, wow, how can I preach? And one day he was preaching in Madison Square Garden. And he said, I ran out of the messages. I don't know what to do. That's the time you trust in God. If you preach the messages for yourself, and I saw some people, they read the messages and they cannot move away from there. Always they have to look down. And then one person got the message and everything, and he's preaching in a convention, and somebody turned the fan on, all the papers went to the public. And so all the people got his message. And now he doesn't have a pages. So he just stopped. He said, why are you not preaching? He said, my preaching is gone, so I cannot preach. And he went and sat down. The point I'm making, if you're serving the Lord, you don't have to worry written messages. You don't have to worry somebody gives you chance or no chance. You have to be ready. Season, out of season, all the time. I'm not kidding. I did it this for this many years, almost more than 50 years. Well, I said, anytime you call me out of sleep and say, come and preach, And it happened. One time I went and preached and I went tired and went to sleep, and they called me again. They said, hey, more people came. And you tell them. And this happened whole night. I go back to sleep. They call me back. The point I'm making, I made a decision with God. As long as I'm breathing, as long as blood flowing in my heart or my vein, I'm going to serve the Lord. There is no retirement. I'm not looking for a higher salary. So I am dedicated to the Lord. You can call me daytime, nighttime, midnight, anytime. I'm ready to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so here the Nehemiah is saying, I'm busy. I'm serving the Lord. I do not have time to come to you. Let's read the verse 4.
Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner.
Now this man is not understanding. He said one time he didn't listen. Let's go and do it one more time. He sent the people for 4 times saying the same thing. And Nehemiah said, I did not change my mind. I told the same thing again and again. I am serving the Lord. I'm doing the great work, and I cannot cease the work, and I don't want to come. And he did not go. The enemy also was thinking, I'm keep on knocking, and one day he will be opening the door. Sometimes Jehovah's Witnesses will come and knock your door, and you don't answer. They will keep on knocking until you open. But the Bible says, do not allow them to come to your house. Don't even talk to them, because they are not even Christian. So the point I'm making, this man called him 4 times. He said, I didn't go. Did this man stop? Let's read the verse 5.
Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the 5th time with an open letter in his hand.
Now he said, I am sending a message. He's not coming. Let's scare him now. Now he's sending the letter, open letter, with his servant, means his bodyguard or whoever is the main person. He says, go and give it to him, an open letter. And see what the letter says. Verse 6.
Wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together.
Now see what he's trying to say? This man is a liar. This man is a crooked man. And he wants to impress Nehemiah, saying that we learned something. How did he learn? If you go a little bit further, some of the Jewish people, some of the, what you call, noble people, joined with the enemy. Why? I was just thinking, why these people are doing this? Do you know, last chapter we learned, Nehemiah called all these noble people and all the great people who are in authorities and told them, what you're doing is wrong. You are excusing the money from poor people. You are taking their lands. You are taking their vineyards. You are taking their children as a slave. And then they said, okay, what we'll do, we'll give it back to them and we'll send everybody free and we will not take any interest. And they did it. But from this I know they did not do it from the heart, because they were pressured. More people came and they thought, we are only minority and majority people are against us. So they said, okay, we'll give it to you. But at the same time, they did not like Nehemiah. They wanted to get rid of him. So they go and talk to the enemy and they start saying, you know what? This Nehemiah wants to be a king or something. He's acting like a king. He's trying to tell us to give us money, give money back. No governor did anything like this. This is like a king. And so these people got some kind of power. His own people are supporting us. So let's tell him that what you're doing, you're telling people I'm the king of the Judah. And you have appointed some prophets to tell everybody that we should be making Nehemiah as a king, and we are going to rebel against the king Artaxerxes. And if you remember, Artaxerxes only the one who gave the permission to Nehemiah to go and rebuild the walls. But now they are trying to put the fear in Nehemiah's heart. They are saying, you know what, your own people are telling us that you are going to be king and you appointed some prophets, and they are going to go and tell others. So this news came to our ears. So we want to know if it is true or not. Come and discuss with us. Otherwise, we are going to take this matter to the king. And when we tell the king, you gave him the long vacation to go and build the Jerusalem's wall, and now see what he's doing. He's going against you, and he wants to topple your kingdom. And this kind of story they are giving to him with an open letter. Now, anybody will get scared, because when you say the king will know, and this is what the enemy brings, the tactic. Sometimes it might be not the true. It might be a little bit true, and they will put like a 1% truth, and they will put 99% false and make a 100% balloon to tell you that you have a problem. But here he's saying, all this open letter gave it to Nehemiah, and Nehemiah's thinking now, what should I do? Shall I go and talk to these people, or shall I not go? But I think God's spirit was trying to encourage Nehemiah. Don't be afraid of enemy. Fear comes from what? Outside. What he says, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us a power, love, and sound mind. When you have a sound mind and you have a love of God in your heart, the love of God will cast out the fear. People are afraid of everything. People are afraid of shadows. People are afraid of everything, the noises and the dreams. And as I said, even the shadow, they are afraid. If you are in the Lord, if you are living for God, no one has power to do any harm to you. I have seen in my life time and time again, people came to kill me, people came to destroy me, they put so many traps, but still I am alive. Why? Because I made up my mind, I'm going to serve the Lord. And so here the Nehemiah reads this letter, open letter, with everybody heard it. And now people might say, hey, Nehemiah, please go talk to these people, otherwise we are in trouble. Some people might be giving wrong advice. Okay, verse 8.
Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands.
Now, he's saying, I know this tactic. They want to put the fear in my heart. They want me to go and listen to them. Do you know what the psalmist says? Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
Who is the blessed man? The man who delights in the Lord day and night. This man doesn't walk. And means where the ungodlies are, he doesn't take their counsel, he does not sit with them, he does not even want to stand and listen what they say. This is the man of God. If you have a problem, go to God. Go to the man of God. Don't go to the lawyer. Don't go to the counselor. Somebody has a marriage problem and they go to some counselor or some lawyer. And if the beautiful girl, he said, get rid of that man. I'm available. I can marry you. And they can destroy your marriage. All the evil counselors, They are for money. There are soothsayers. They will tell you something and they will not tell the full story. They will say, come again. And they will keep on bringing you back and back and give you some counsel and get some money. The word of God said, the righteous man will not sit with the evil people, will not take their counsel, will not have the evil friends. You know the Christian people, they have some evil, unsaved people. When they have problem, they call them, oh, I have this problem, could you help me? And what the ungodly people will give advice? They will give ungodly advice. Or sometime you are a godly man and you have five ungodly friends. Oh, I want your advice. You give them advice and they like your advice, but what they're trying to do, they're trying to pull you to their side. And we don't understand. Oh, we have a party. Oh, my friend's party. I have to go because they listen to me, so I have to listen to them. And you go to their party, and then other person has a party. And you have five, six unsaved people, and you are not able to win them one to Christ. So they mesmerize you. Oh, you know everything. We need your counsel. I would say, so my counsel is this. Believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do you like this counseling? No, then you're not my friend. The point I'm making, the word of God says, you delight in the Lord. And then God gives the desires of your heart. You don't be afraid of anybody. When you are in the Lord's side, God will fight for you. Okay, let's go back to the Nehemiah chapter 6. Verse 10.
Afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee, yea, in the night will they come to slay thee.
Now here is another tactic. The first one didn't work. Now this man hired the prophets. Can you imagine some prophet who are the serving the Lord? And you give them the money and a bribe, they will talk good about you. Some pastors, if the member gives them more money and they do secret job or secret sin, they will never condemn them. They will never talk to them bad. Why? If they say something, they will leave the church. I have seen many pastors. I don't want to tell you, but somebody told me a bigger church in Philadelphia. You'll figure it out yourself. And their treasurer is an alcoholic man. And he was somewhere and so much drunk. And one person said, aren't you the treasurer of such and such a church? He said, yes. Don't they know that you do all these things? Yes, they do. And that man came to me and told me, this is what's happening. I said, it will not happen in my church. The point I'm making, we want to tell the truth. And truth hurts. But you have to tell the truth. So these people are coming now, got the prophet, got some servant of God, gave him some money, not one per several ministers, and said, you have to say something to your governor, Nehemiah. He will listen to you. Because he doesn't listen to you, he will listen to godly people. But sometime, if somebody thinking he's a godly man, and if he start giving me advice, and if that advice not according to the word of God, I don't take advice. Somebody says, you know, more people give you counsel, there is a wisdom. I said, there is a saying also, 10 cook, spoil the dish. If one person can cook very fine dish, but if you have 10 people say put this and put that and put this and put that, your cake or your recipe will be spoiled. So you have to take a counsel from God. God is the counselor. The Holy Spirit is the counselor. When you're trusting in Jesus Christ, he will never take you astray or tell you something wrong. There is a one denomination. That denomination twisted the teaching of Jesus Christ and got their own teaching. And the man came to me and he said, you know, Pastor Peter, you are baptizing people wrong way. I said, what is the right way? Right way to baptize in Jesus' name. I say, is that the commandment Jesus gave? Jesus said, baptize him in the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit. Are you telling me you baptize people in Jesus' name? Are you telling me from the Word of God? He says, well, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come and Holy Spirit will teach you. Okay? So he said, the Holy Spirit told my founder that now you baptize people in Jesus' name. I said, let's read the Word of God. What Jesus Christ said. He said, I will send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach everything what I taught you and remind you what I taught you. And Holy Spirit will not say anything is his own. So I said, you got the wrong Holy Spirit. You got the demon spirit, and the demon told you to do this. I said, what basis are you doing in this baptizing people in Jesus' name? He said, I'll tell you from the book of Acts. Everywhere he said, in Jesus' name, in the Lord's name. I said, sir, you do not know the theory. You don't know the teaching. Now I don't have time to teach about that. But I told him everything what is written there. Let me give an example. I said, the 12 people came. They were baptized by Apollos. And then they came to Paul, and Paul asked him a simple question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believe? What did they say? They would say, we never heard about the Holy Spirit. Why? If the Apollos baptized them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit, at will they will hear it. They said, we didn't hear it. Paul knew. Apollos did a mistake. He is baptizing the John the baptism. He is not baptizing the baptism Jesus Christ told them. So he rebaptized them. So the point I'm making, I gave him almost 2 hours of study to that pastor. And that day, I was so tired. I went to the night meeting. I came like at 4 o'clock, and I was driving the bicycle. One man sitting in the front, one man sitting in the back, and I am driving, and 22 miles. In the night, and 4 o'clock, I just put the bicycle, and I just went to bed, and here the knock came. And the lady of the house, I was a guest in somebody's house, she said, shh, don't disturb the Pastor Peter. He just went to the bed. I said, who is it? I want to talk to the person. And then I sat and talked to this man. And when I was talking to him, and he said, how do you baptize? I said, you will be surprise when I tell you. I said, I stand in the water and I say like this, according to the commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, who is Lord Jesus Christ, the name of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you in water. The man got so mesmerized. He said, wow, now I understood. Now I don't have to do the old way in Jesus' name. When you say, who is Jesus, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know that. So he said, I'm going to baptize people the way you baptize. The point I'm making, the people can come to try to twist your thinking, try to tell you you're doing something wrong. But if they don't tell according to the Word of God, I don't care is the bishop or is the founder of a religion. I don't care. One person called me. He's also a great man. I'm not giving his name. He called me and I went there. He said, you know what? I like to help you, your mission in India. We can help you, sir, thousands of dollars. So he said, but you only one thing you have to do. Never say blood of Jesus. I said, what should I say? He said, Jesus Christ gave his life. You don't say blood. I said, what? The blood is the old thing. The new thing is the life. I said, sir, the word of God says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. And Jesus Christ shed his pure blood, holy blood. I cannot change it to take your money to help my mission. I said, bye-bye. And I never saw him again. The point I'm making, if anyone gives you advice or tells you something which is not in the word of God, say bye-bye. Don't listen to them. So now this person coming and trying to tell him, which is not biblical. Who is telling him? The priest. Priest is telling him, you know what? The man is going to come and kill you. What time? Night time. So what should we do? We should run to the temple and close the temple door. And you know the temple is much more stronger and people are scared of temple, so they will not come and kill you. Does it sound good idea? It sounds good because many people did before. When somebody comes to kill them, they go to the altar and hold the horns up the altar and they say, now don't kill me. And so people get scared and say, okay, I let you go. But one man said, I'm not going to get, if you want to kill me here. I said, okay, that's what you ask, that's what you get. The point I'm making, going to the temple in the nighttime, there's no time of Thanksgiving, or there is no time of offering, evening sacrifice or morning sacrifice. You're going in the midnight and going to the temple to hide. That's not the God's will. Not only that, he's not a priest. He's the governor. Governor cannot go to the temple and do the temple service. Do you know the name? King Saul. King Saul, Samuel said, you wait and I'll come and we'll do the sacrifice. And Samuel didn't come on time. Was a little bit late. So this man said, okay, bring the sacrifice. I'm going to do it. And Samuel comes. He said, hey, what are you doing? Oh, you know, we had to do the sacrifice, so I did it. He said, you did it wrong. So, if you don't listen, your kingdom is gone. He says, oh, but I did sacrifice. He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. You believe the God. I went to church and I gave $10,000, so a pastor loves me and God loves me, but I am having a girlfriend and I sleep with her and I do the drug business and everything, but my pastor loves me. Doesn't work that way. One man came and put a $900 in the offering or gave it to me. I said, sir, before I take this money, I want to know where this money came from. Did you do any drug business? Did you do some evil thing? He said, no, Pastor Peter, you know I'm a man of God. I just got my, retired. And this is my bonus pay. And so he said, that's what I'm going to give it to you. And so I said, okay. The point I'm making, I'm not looking for money in their faces. One person, I went to the Central City. There was a big auditorium. And one lady came and gave one man $35,000 check. The man comes and says, we should pray for this lady. She gave $35,000. And what she was doing? Liquor business. And so, pray for her business. I thought he's saying she's killing so many people, destroying so many families. Because you got $35,000 and you have to pray for her business? So, point I'm making, don't take evil advice, even the godly man gives you advice. And many pastors are taking it. And they will say, bless me, so next time I get the bigger jackpot. Some people come to me. They say, Pastor Peter, you say something and it happens. You just give me the number. And I will give you the 50%. I say, sir, what the Bible says, if you want to be quick rich, your sin will kill you. You give what you have. If you have a dime, give a penny, God will be pleased. God doesn't want your $300,000 lottery ticket. And somebody says, if somebody put it in your bucket, what you do? I said, if somebody put it and he went away, I don't know who the person is. I'll thank God and say, thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, wicked people's money, I'll give it to you. So I'll be thankful. The man of God supposed to give the right advice. But the money made this man blind. And he gives the advice, do wrong thing. You are not a priest. You are a governor. Governor should not be afraid of anybody. He says, now you go, somebody's killing you. So you go and lock the temple door and you will be safe. God give this man wisdom. He said, I'm not going to do such a thing. I'm not going to be afraid of anybody. We just said a few minutes ago, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the power, love, and sound mind. This man is a man of God. He's not going to be afraid of somebody. Before that, they said, I'm going to bring the army to kill you. And I'm going to bring people secretly and kill you. He was not afraid. So he is telling this man, you're giving me wrong advice. Let's read the verse 11.
And I said, should such a man as I flee, and who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life, I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid, and do so, and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me.
See what he say? He got the wisdom. He said, this man is doing this tactic to put the fear in my heart. When the fear comes, you start shivering. When you start shivering, you cannot work. Your hands are not going to work. You are not going to build anything. So this is the enemy's tactic. And he said, you're giving me this advice. I'm not going to take this advice because you are giving me wrong advice to commit sin. If I go in the temple, and if I hide myself in the temple, and the other priest will come to know, and other believers, other Israeli people will come to know, and they will be saying, Nehemiah, you are not a priest. What you were doing in the temple in the nighttime? And then I have to tell them I was afraid of these enemies. And then this will be completely wrong. I cannot do the wrong thing. I cannot give wrong example to my people. And I will never commit this kind of sin. Let's read the verse 14.
My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets, that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days.
Now, he says, Lord, I pray for this Tobiah, and I pray for his friend, and I pray for his all these people coming against me. And he said, take care of these people, because he did pray before. And when he prayed, all the enemies were afraid. Now he is praying again, and he said, Lord, you do accordingly whatever you wanted to do for these people. But I'm not going to be afraid. He made up his mind. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do the Lord's work. And he said, they finished the building. And they finished the doors. And in this chapter, doesn't say, but as soon as you start the chapter 7, they finished all the doors. They finished everything. They were not afraid of any enemies. So what the Bible is saying, we should not be afraid of anyone. You should be afraid of God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says, the enemy will kill you, but he will kill your body. He has no power to kill your spirit and your soul. He said, you should be afraid of God, who has the power to destroy your body, soul, and spirit in hell. So we should not be afraid of anybody. We should be respecting our God. If God is in my side, if God is with me, who can be against me? Our God is our protector. Do you know, once you get saved, Book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, it says, God sends his angels to protect you, to minister to you. We don't have to worship the angel. The angels are our servant. Once you are born again, child of God. So we don't have to be afraid of anybody. We should be afraid of God. Okay, let's go and read verse 16.
And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God.
See, this enemy's tactic didn't work. Nehemiah finished the job. And then they said, this work is not a work of man. This is the work of God. Psalm 127, it says, if the God is not building the house, the builder's building is in vain. If the God is not watching the city, the watchman's watching is in vain. So now he's saying, if God was not building these walls, it would not happen. If God is not with them, are you doing something? It will go wrong and wrong. Some people say, you know what? I'm so busy. I cannot go to church today because I have some project. Maybe school project or maybe some business project or something. And they say, I'm not going to go to church. I have to finish this project. I have news for you. You will have so many problems. You will not be able to finish the project. You will have so many condemnation in your heart. And you will be so frustrated and you will not be able to do it. But if you put God first, go to church and come back, God will expand your mind and he will give you grace to finish it on time. There was a one man, civil engineer, and he wanted to give the test of the language of Hindi language, national language. They said, if you fail this language, we will demote you. The man, day and night, reading this book about some Hindi and did not get anywhere. He came to church. He said, Pastor Peter, you have to pray for me. I want to give this exam. I said, sir, did you give your heart to the Lord? He said, no. Then how can I pray? Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then the word of God says, he will give you wisdom and you will have the mind of Christ and you will know everything. And I prayed for him and I said, throw that book. Literally throw it and read the Bible. He went for an exam, whatever he read before came to his mind, and he passed not only in his class, he passed in the whole state, number one. Who did it? Jesus did it. But I gave him the right advice. You are struggling and you're not going anywhere. Put Christ first, and then everything will be all right. So this man says, I'm going to do it. And when they did it for the Lord, enemy found it. And he says, wow, this is the work of God. Go to the Psalm 37 and read from verses 4 to 8. Here it says, when you delight in the Lord, he will give the desires of your heart. Not only that, he says, your righteousness will shine like a noonday. Please read.
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil.
See, this is the advice maybe Nehemiah took. I'm not going to be angry at this man. I'm not going to do anything wrong. I'll do my job. And God will give me grace. Because he says, delight in the Lord. And he will give the desires of your heart. What was his desire? To finish the job, put the gate, and do the right thing. And so God did it. And then he says, your righteousness will shine like a noonday. You don't have to advertise. People are going to see it. Say, wow, this is the work of God. This is not a man, works of man. See how he did it. Even though we oppose, we try to bring him fear and everything. He said to this man, you know what? All this idea you're bringing about king and this going against the king, this is all invented in your heart. There is no basis. There is no proof. And so I'm not going to be afraid what you invented wrong thing. I'm going to believe God is in my side. I'm going to do the right thing. And kings knows that I'm a faithful man. This man worked. Who was he? He was the king's cupbearer. Means without him, the king cannot eat. He has to taste the food. He has to eat the food. He has to put his life in a danger. So the king has to trust this man. So he says, King, trust me. That's why I was standing in front of him and giving him food and giving him drink. And you're going to tell him that all of a sudden now Nehemiah become a king? He's not going to believe. He trusts me. And so he was not afraid. You have to believe that your husband or your wife trust you. Then you don't have to ask somebody's advice. What my wife is saying, what your husband, your husband is not a good man. He's always demands you things and like that. Oh, you are right. And then the wife will go after somebody. But if the wife or husband says, you know what? Whatever my husband says, he loves me. The husband will say, don't worry, my wife gets angry, but she loves me. And nobody can put asunder. You don't take somebody's gossip. If somebody wants to break your marriage, they will say, you know what? I saw your wife with somebody on such and such a day. But if you know, then you will say, okay, I know my wife. Even though you saw him such and such a day and was talking to somebody, she might be preaching the gospel. She might be telling about Jesus. I'm not afraid of losing my wife. Don't give me that garbage. Or even the beautiful girl comes and says, you know your wife was saying this. I says, ma'am, keep your garbage to you. I don't want to listen to the wrong thing. So the point I'm making, this man did not listen to anybody, did not listen to any priest, did not listen to enemies. He listened to God. Okay, let's finish this chapter. Go back to the Nehemiah chapter 3 from 17 to 19.
Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them.
Do you know I said it earlier? Who is writing? The noble people writing to Tobiah, and Tobiah writing to them. And so now these people, he got so many people in his hand. Now I got these people, and I'm going to fight with him, and all these people will support me, and will defeat the man. That's what people do. You remember the King David was the great king, but his son Absalom was a handsome man, so he stands at the gate. And if somebody comes, he gives him a hug and he gives him a kiss, and he says, you know what, I'll be your next king. And so he got so many people in his hand and tried to rebel against his father. What happened? Got killed. Outward beauty is deceiving. When you get old, you take that plastic surgery, try to make your face young, but in the inside, rotten bones, you can hardly walk. So you cannot fool somebody from outward appearance. God looks inside, and God wants you how much you love God. So that's the way it is. So he says, you know, these noble people and some of the Jewish people got hold of my enemy, and enemy comes to fight with me. But he knew, if God is with me, who can be against me? Stick to God. All these people got together and start convincing Nehemiah, we are majority. We are with your enemy. Now we got enemy. And you try to tell us to give money and give the land and this and that. Oh no, you are our king or something. So we want to get rid of it. He didn't listen. Let's read the final words.
For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear.
See who this man is. This man is a heathen, married to some priest daughter, and now he said, oh, he's ours. But he's giving you wrong advice. I don't care if somebody says I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in water baptism. I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in speaking in tongue. I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in a holiness. I should be having company with them? No. Bible says, how can you walk together unless you agree? So he says, many people went against. And what they were trying to do? They are trying to put the fear in my heart. So when the fear comes, you finish. You don't be afraid of people. You don't afraid of evil devices. If your eye is in on Jesus Christ, what does he say in book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. I never put my trust in any man. I never put my trust in any king. I don't care who they are. They might be famous. They might be doing so many things. They might be having so much support. Whole world can be one side. But if you are with Jesus, you are still majority. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Nobody can scare us. Nobody can put us down. We are going to follow Christ like Nehemiah. And you gave him victory. Lord Jesus, be with us. Sanctify us. Use us mightily for the glory of God. And let each and everyone follow Christ, not the people. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.